the earliest week one in high school football history brought with it some of the craziest results. We saw some things that were unexpected in week one of high school football, and it's our job today to decide which of them will be telling going forward and which was a one-off. I'm Case Kiefer, followed, I don't know why I said that. Case Kiefer joined by Ray Brewer, as always, on Prep Sports Now. Ray, you were out there week one. I guess if there's one thing you have to start with, what's most shocking to you about what happened?
I think you said followed because I'm following you now in the picks.
That's not what I meant, but I'll take
it. You were godling week one. I think the great takeaway was the early start. Players had only been in pads for a handful of practices, and the mistakes were obvious, whether it just be penalties, turnovers, late hits. As I called coach from coach, they were like, yeah, we won. However, it was ugly, and it was ugly because of this, and we're going to have some time to fix it. And one coach labeled it as a celebrated scrimmage that counted in the standings. So that was the theme. Some great results, though, right? You got Arborview, who was who we thought would be in a game that would be close, absolutely destroyed a California team. You got Centennial winning on a fumble return with 44 seconds left in the game. And you've got Democracy Prep, who at this time last year was a 2A team, beating Coronado, which has the highest enrollment in the Clark County School District. So that's the recap of week one.
Yeah, and you mentioned that I did great on the picks, and we didn't even pick the Coronado Democracy Prep game yet. I was so high on Democracy Prep last week, I don't think I would have picked them, but I think I get a little bit of credit for that one as well. Yeah, that one was like a quiet game. It wasn't even on the schedule. We have the official NIAA schedule. We must have had an old one, but so sorry we couldn't pick that one. But that's just shocking to me. I really thought, Coronado, how much bigger is the school? Like 10 times? And they had some promising kids coming into the year. Like I said, it's just 1 week. You never want to overreact. I'm sure they will bounce back from this. But if you were talking about all the results, that would be the one that was most eye-popping to me.
Yeah, especially when you consider, Case, that Democracy Prep doesn't even have a football field on its home campus over there in North Las Vegas.
And according to your story, a quarter of the roster cramped up, yeah, and missed a lot of the game.
Dressed 26 kids, six kids cramp up, and they don't, and they give up a kick return for a touchdown on the first play, and they don't give up a touchdown the rest of the way. So,
and then they won 12-10, right?
12-10. Shout out to Coach Jones and the fellas over there. They were so fired up, bro.
I mean, Coronado's supposed to have a world class kicker. That means, did they just totally shut up? Did they not even get in field goal range? Or they missed some field goals?
He made one kick.
I know, that's the only one. I'm thinking, okay, you score the opening kickoff. I mean, you've only got to gain – you got to think you get the ball at a decent position. You probably only got to gain 20 or 30 yards. Sometimes you should be in field goal range. Something doesn't add up to me with this.
Yeah, and it's just one of those crazy first week type of games. You know how the first week of the NFL preseason, right? You see a few things, and everybody wants to overreact right away, right? Like, mm-hmm. This quarterback is worse than we thought. This player's good. This defense is going to be awful. Oh, I can't believe this offense didn't score. Do you think we could use that same theory with week one of high school football?
Well, I mean, that's what I said in the intro, is we got to decide which things mean something going forward and which is just kind of a one-week blip. I think you can make an argument on both sides in every game, but I guess I'll ask you, what about this one? What do you think? Is this something to look at as necessarily the truth going forward? I mean, you see Democracy Prep beating Coronado. I don't think there's a lot of teams on the lower level that do that. So is Democracy Prep a threat in the 3A Sunset? And is Coronado, you know, doomed to just have another tough year in the Southeast? Or do we write it off as 1 week and we need to see more?
Well, I think we'll know the answer to Democracy Prep after Friday night. They travel to Moapa, which, as you know, is about a 90-minute bus ride, and Moapa's great at home. So if they keep it close against Moapa, we'll know that they're going to be a threat in the 3A. And, you know, with Coronado, it's just tough when it's the first game of a new coach, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, they probably have that thing going in the right direction. But now the message is it still going to be received after, you know, you're on the biggest upset of week one? Some people are saying the biggest upset in a few years for high school football. So Coronado, huge spot on Friday night. They're at Cimarron. It kind of reminds me a little bit of UNLV, right? They lose to Howard, a team they should have beaten week one last year. And then the second day, and then the next game, they go to Idaho and they beat Idaho. So Cimarron is Idaho, basically, for Coronado.
I don't think this is that big of an upset, but I see what you're saying situationally. But I don't think that Coronado would have been like a 40-point favorite. I will say, I don't know. I think it remains to be seen with Democracy Prep. We'll see if they can keep this up. I think it would be great. Someone that was high on them going into the season. I'm pretty sure that Coronado is going to be okay, especially the context that you talked about. You know, they've only been in pads for 6 days. Teams have barely practiced. And you talk about Terry Riddle, their new coach. He was coming in and basically changing everything. Trying to make it a new culture. They probably just didn't have a lot of time to make sure everything was totally in place. I think that there's, you know, the risk that kids will, you know, get down on themselves after a loss like that. But I also think maybe it just, you know, refocuses you. I mean, you're not going to overlook anyone now and probably going to get down to business. I would expect a good effort this week at Cimarron. And I still think Coronado long-term is going to be in a better place under Coach Riddle. I guess the other really surprising one that I didn't really know the details to until you kind of just ran it down, Centennial, going to be the death of me, comes back to beat Sierra Vista. I picked Centennial so much last year, and they really struggled. So this year I was going to wean off of them. And, I mean, everyone was high on Sierra Vista coming into the season, so that's a big win. And I think now you've got to be looking at the Bulldogs and wondering what they're capable of this season.
Yeah, the Bulldogs are a team who have a lot of great sophomores, including the quarterback, and a good junior class as well. And we all kind of thought that it would be next year that we would see this. But they're down 19-0. They got a long touchdown, and the next thing you know, they hung around. But at the end, they drove the ball down, missed a field goal, 44 seconds left in the game, and the Bulldogs still had 3 timeouts. So Sierra Vista had to run a play, first play, fumble, scoop and score, touchdown. Unbelievable, right? And then Ray Brewer, the moron, called the Sierra Vista coach to congratulate him on the win.
Oh,
I
no.
Didn't see what had happened.
Well, so, there's worse coaches you could do that with. Boss is usually a good guy.
He was great. I mean, you got to just have, your heart ripped
out of
you.
Oh, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
All summer you train, you're basically in, you know, you're one play away from going in victory formation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you lose a heartbreaker.
For sure. If you look at the stats of this game, too, it really seems like Sierra Vista moved the ball really well. They put up a lot of yardage, like you said. I mean, that just adds even more of a heartbreaker. I think Sierra Vista is still going to be the team we thought. For Centennial, I just wonder, you know, is this sustainable? Are they going to be able to keep this up and be a threat?
And I can't believe we haven't brought this up yet.
Okay.
What was the score that we were totally wrong on? Or at least I was totally wrong on.
Well,
I was wrong on a few. You're right.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just glancing over. I mean, I know one game we disagreed on the most was Bonanza and Valley, which you went to.
Yeah, and Bonanza beat him and beat him convincingly. There was about 11 turnovers. The kid from Valley I like really good, but Valley is there.
Can we please retire forever? It's fine. You can use it in basketball. There's some merit. There is absolutely no merit in football to taking the best player ever. I try to tell you this. This is why I've won the picks 2 out of the last 3 years and tied the other year.
That was a battle case of 2 teams trying to fumble the ball away the most. What about
Bonanza got 21 points to go with it. They won 21-0.
What about the Legacy Longhorns? 31-0 in Cali, right?
Correct. Yeah, I only I had them winning, but only a 4-point game.
Yeah, and their quarterback, who, remember, that was one of the, they had an inexperienced player, Evan Olays, probably saying the last name wrong, wasn't great. First varsity start, 8 of 17, 113, and 2 touchdowns. And you know they're going to run the rock, right? Jerry Martin ran the rock. So very cool for Legacy to go into California and get a dub.
Yeah, Jerry Martin, that'll be a guy to watch. 142 yards on 11 carries. That's crazy. Amori Foster also had a big game and a guy we know about, but Jerry Martin, that's some impressive eye-popping stats. And Legacy, yeah, I mean, we thought they were going to be good this year. Do you make them the favorite in the Northeast now after that one win? Are you still? I know you are such a Desert Pines guy. That's going to be tough for you. But I think they're both right there. Maybe
in my heart of hearts, if they had to play today, I would. I mean, because we just don't know what Desert Pines has, especially up front. I really think that Legacy could kind of run the ball down their throats a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. After that's what they did against the Burroughs. I guess the other California game that we should mention, even though we both did get this one right, probably not to this extent, Arborview just crushes Valley View, playing a California opponent for what feels like the first time ever, at least, and they certainly showed up for the occasion.
Yeah, and I mean, opening kickoff, Kyle Graham with a kickoff return for a touchdown, and this game went a lot quicker than I think Arborview wanted. They only ran 15 plays on offense. So now this week they're going into Valencia, a top 20 team in California, and their hands are going to be tied because that's a tough opponent. And you know, you didn't get to run all your sets on offense, right?
I mean, it was still a four quarter game. They scored 61 points. So
They ran 15 plays, Case.
Oh, total?
Total plays.
There's no way.
Yeah.
15 plays.
Look at the third paragraph of my story.
15? How is that even possible? So is Valley View just terrible?
Apparently they're not that bad, Barnson said. They just played, they were ready to roll.
All right. Well, I think that they will take that efficiency anyway. I mean, even if it puts them behind not getting as much plays. That's insane. I guess, mercy rule, you say, in the first quarter. Okay, yeah, that's nuts. I will say Kyle Graham, you mentioned the opening kickoff, also scored, it looks like, three more times. A kid we didn't mention, I think, last week, we probably should have. I mean, he's been he was great last year and I think going to be one of the best players in town this year. Certainly after week one, he'd be in the MVP conversation.
Sure, and of course Logan Bollinger, the quarterback, had his name spelled wrong on a cut line earlier in the year, and then I said Kyle Bollinger in my story. Remember Kyle Bollinger?
Is that his brother?
No, it was the quarterback for the Ravens.
That's Kyle Bowler.
Bowler?
Yeah.
Well, that's who I thought it was.
Okay, well, Logan Bollinger. We'll try to get that right more going forward. So yeah, Arborview, Valencia, that should be real interesting. I mean, if you score 60 points on 15 plays, that's just a new level of efficiency. I don't see how I don't see how Valencia could stop that, but we'll have to see once we get to the picks. Looks like mostly everything else went according to plan. Anything else crazy we need to touch on?
I think, you know, shout out to some other teams that got dubs. My Basic Wolves hung on first game, 12 for an extra.
This is the first time I've seen this score, actually. Yeah. I miss this. This is iPod. Are you trying to bury this?
No.
Mr. Basic here, top five team. They won by one in week one.
If you don't want to bring up Basic, Case, it's fine. I know you're biased on the podcast.
I really did miss this game till now.
Yeah, it was, again, celebrated scrimmage. Basic held on for the win. Shout out to them. And then the Green Valley, Moapa Valley game, Malik Duncan, a buck 50 and a TD for Green Valley. And Granger is throwing around pound for pounds when talking about the Duncan kid. 5'6", buck 50, and he had a really good game for the Gators, who got the opening night dub at home.
Running back?
Running back, yeah. The Hulsey's kid still got most of the carries, but when this kid touched the ball, he just went off.
All right, so yeah, Malik Duncan, that's a guy to watch. They put up some decent passing numbers, too. I know we had questions about their quarterback situation, but it seems like Garrett Castro was able to get the ball to our guy Kalijah Wile quite a few times. Wile, 7 catches for 133 yards and 2 touchdowns. Those are some big numbers. We know they had more athletes than Moapa Valley, but you know Moapa Valley's discipline and not giving up yards just at will. So I think that's a pretty telling result. And I think that Wiley, although I don't subscribe to your always take the best player on the field theory, there's certainly something to be said for having a guy that's a lot of times going to be the best, most explosive guy. I don't see that guy not getting his a lot. So maybe Green Valley a little bit better than we thought in the preseason.
Are they better than basic?
I would...
Don't overreact.
I don't know. Well, no, I actually... I'm so thrown off by your love for basic. When I was doing my Southeast story, I figured Green Valley was the better team, but you were just so ungodly high on basic that I ended up putting basic ahead of them. Even though I argued last week on the podcast, I thought Green Valley should be ahead based on last year. I don't know. I certainly think, and Durango's no joke either, but I certainly think a 34-20 win over Moapa Valley is a little more impressive to me than a 13-12 win over Durango. And for two teams that are that close, I think right now you'd have to give Green Valley the edge.
Yeah, again, I just want to see – we're sitting here having a conversation in – what is today, the 19th, August 19th, about
– 20th today.
Same thing, no. August 20th, yeah. Right? About – I mean, some of these kids don't even know what the pads look like yet.
I mean, I'm confused at your argument here.
I just think it's too early. I think this would be like Palos.
Oh, the games are too early?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant it was too early to talk about Green Valley Basic. That's your favorite game of any sport,
we
so why
talk
not?
About
just
that anyway.
Yeah.
But it's like, for example, Silverado and Palos scrimmage Saturday night. What's the difference between that scrimmage and what Basic did over at Durango?
No, I totally agree, and I think we've touched on this at least offline, maybe on last week's show, but when you told me that the schedule's all changing, I think it was your impression and therefore my impression that the schedule's changing so they got the season wrapped up sooner so kids could be more into winter sports. But, I mean, now we're starting August 17th and going till December 1st. What is the reasoning for this? Why? It makes no sense to me. I don't think starting the season this year – this is a failed experiment.
Yeah.
Go back to – later next year.
So my guy McAllister had a .120 rushing. Palmyro, he struggled to complete the ball. I think that was the difference. You get a few catches instead of drops, and next thing you know, you're in like Flynn.
But if you're taking the positive view of basic, the optimistic, I think the defense was the much bigger problem last year. And we know the guys that Durango had back were on offense, and they did, you know, hold them to 12 points. So I think that's got to be encouraging. If basic gets the offense going and they still outgained Durango by about 50 yards, I think basic will be fine. I'm just going to give you a little grief at any opportunity about basic this year. But I think they're going to be okay, and I think that was a good thing that the defense showed some ability and didn't give up. I mean, they were giving up at least 30 points every game last year, it felt like.
Exactly. They were brutal at the end of the year as well.
All right, any other topics to discuss before we get into week two picks?
Let's do the picks. I got to be like Centennial and try to rally down from a deficit.
I don't know. We were only different on probably four or five games, right? So I don't have that big of a lead. And this week, you're actually going to get to hear my first impression. I have not even looked at the schedule till now. I'm just calling it up right now, and it says monster slate of games from Ray Brewer. Ray Brewer says, is that in terms of volume or just in terms of competitiveness?
The top three Vegas teams all have really, really, really tough – top four Vegas teams have really, really tough out-of-state games, monster slate. And there's a lot of games too.
All right. Yeah, monster slate sounds about right. I didn't know this game had a name.
Neither did I. I mean, I did the whole time.
Oh, okay, I didn't.
They haven't played in a while. The Jersey game between Powell and Mojave – both schools opened in 96, and the Jersey game was created. Let me read off some of the scores, though. It was last contested in 2011, 48-0 Palo, 56-12 Palo, 52-0 Palo, 41-0 Palo. Palo barely survived in 07, 13-12. I bet you that's when Granger was on Palo.
What year?
07.
Oh, yeah, I think he graduated 08.
Yeah. And then, Palo is killing them every year. So the Jersey game is back on. I got Paolo.
So has Mojave ever beaten Paolo?
No.
Okay, wouldn't think so. If Darwin Rost is listening somewhere, he's clenching his fist because I know he loves being slighted by me. But yeah, I didn't think so. I'm going Paolo to keep the streak intact here. Like I said last week, I like the Panthers. I think they lost some close games they probably shouldn't have last year. They're going to turn it around this year, but this won't be one of them. They win easy. Gorman back in action, the 9-time defending state champions. They're hosting Mater Dei, who ended their 50-some-game win streak last year.
Yeah.
54-game win streak last year. Do they exact a little revenge here? We haven't talked about Gorman much. To give us the rundown on this game.
Well, Mater Dei played last week. They had a 42-14 win against Bishop. I can't say this in case you know.
I don't have it in front of me, so you're
Bishop,
all on your
Bishop
own.
Bishop Amott in the opener. And, you know, they've got a highly recruited quarterback, Bryce Young, who's just a junior. And I think they end up getting 15 transfers in. So they've lost a lot, but they reloaded. And they're coming in. They got kids committed to Oregon. They're rated second in the nation. Gorman, this is one big first test. E, you know it's in their house, so they're going to be ready to play. TV game, hot in Vegas. But I just don't think Gorman's got enough to hang with this Mater Dei team. I think Mater Dei is just absolutely stacked.
Yeah, I think that it's tough just to begin with, just what we know about Mater Dei, second in the nation, always one of the best programs. But then you threw in the part about how they already beat Bishop Amott last week. So this isn't going to be a practice for them. Meanwhile, I think I saw someone tweeted at us. Gorman was scrimmaging Canyon Springs, which was great. Love to see that happening, but not really the same as lacing it up against another big-time opponent. I'm going to have to go with Mater Dei here as well. But I will say this. Gorman has surprised us a lot of times over the years and won some of these games that we didn't expect them to. I would not count them out here. It's at home. It's going to be hot. I say they keep it close, but ultimately can't pull off the victory.
And that's the weird thing is that we don't know much about this Gorman team, right? They got a lot of guys that are unknowns, and Gorman hasn't been in this spot before, but we do know that they're decent up front with, you know, Taylor and Briggs, and you know Gorman likes to get in the power eye and try to get physical, so maybe we see them kind of get back to their, you know, to their, hey, if we need to strap it up, we will ways, and they keep this thing close. The one thing about Gorman in this 9-year run when they play these out-of-state teams, no matter how it looks like they may be overmatched on paper, they've never been blown out, right? Like Sanchez era, the biggest loss was probably Mater Dei last year, and it was like 100 points combined, right?
Yeah, 100 points combined. What do you mean? Oh, it was a high scoring?
Yeah.
I do remember, I mean, it never seemed like they were. I covered that game off TV. A Mater Dei was clearly the better team and always comfortably ahead, but it definitely didn't constitute a blowout. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think they'll keep it close, but I don't see how you can pick against Mater Dei here on paper.
I agree.
All right, Liberty at Saguaro in Arizona. That was one of their big wins last year. They beat Saguaro, an Arizona power, when they came up here.
Yeah, Saguaro is...
Sorry.
That's all right, Case. I said that a thousand
Silent
times.
Silent G?
Yeah.
All right.
I said that a thousand times last year. I did the radio or the TV for this game.
Okay.
I think Liberty's stacked and packed and action and ready to go, baby, and I think they make a statement. They got a kid from Hawaii playing quarterback. Don't know his name, but we'll all know it come Friday night. Pats roll. Get on the bus. Woo-hoo!
This is big information for me here in a game I'm really torn on. Who's the new quarterback? What year? How old is he?
He's a junior. I get his name for you.
Hold okay, on. Junior from Hawaii. Makes me think he's going to be solid. Saguaro, though, perennial power in Arizona. Have some revenge they need to serve. I think they have a lot of people back this year, just looking at what happened. They did play another game last week, too, just like Mater Dei. They won 48-3 against post on, but
no clue what
that is. That's according to Max Prep, so if that's wrong, I don't know, but 48-3, I might have to go Saguaro here. Breaking in a new quarterback at Saguaro, I think it's going to be a close game. I hope Liberty doesn't excommunicate me. I'm going to go with Saguaro, I think. All right,
the new quarterback, and I apologize for not knowing this ahead of time, is Isaac. Well, maybe not. I don't know.
All right, well, we can just wait till Friday. We'll see if he leads them to.
I don't know. They got so many. Yeah, we'll figure it out on Friday.
I'm pretty stunned you have them winning by 25.
I think they're going to roll. I just can't figure out the name of this quarterback.
I think this is like a 3 or 4 point game, and I'm going to go against the Nevada team. Saguaro at Saguaro, which brings us to another out-of-state game. Valor Christian from Colorado coming to Faith Lutheran. I believe home and home. I think Faith Lutheran went there last year. It was a game on TV, and it was a crazy finish.
Yeah, Faith Lutheran arguably left that game on the field. They went over there and competed big time. Valor Christian, coached by Ed McCafferty, Bronco.
Yeah.
Vernon Fox, former Bronco. They were former NFL teammates, which is pretty
very
neat,
interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
They return two rushers, including McCafferty, who's now the quarterback. I think Valor Christian's going to be able to control the clock. I think this game's going to be close as well, and I pick them at the end. I think they've got too much on the ground.
Yeah, it looks like Valor Christian, the favorite to win a state championship in Colorado, always one of the best programs there. I like Faith this year, but again, it's another first game. I guess I'm just a Nevada hater today. I'm going to take yet another out-of-state opponent. I'm going Valor, so 3 for 3 in the early games as far as in-state, out-of-state. Let's stick in Nevada for the next one. Democracy Prep going to Moapa Valley. You said this is going to be a test to see how real the Blue Knights are. I don't necessarily think the Blue Knights have to win or even keep this game close to show they're for real. They're still they're in a separate side of Moapa. I think Moapa wins this, but I still believe in Democracy Prep.
I echo your comments. I've got Moapa at home, and I think Democracy Prep's going to have a chance to have a good season.
All right, so that does that one. This one, somewhat interesting to me. Silverado at Bonanza. Bonanza trying to go 2-0. Silverado starting off their season.
Yeah, and, you know, for all the mistakes we saw last week for the first game, I think the one thing here is when we make these picks, we have to say which team's played and which team hasn't, because I think there's going to be a learning curve, right?
You're certainly selling me on that, but you're going to contradict yourself on your pick here.
I know. I can't. I watch Bonanza cough the ball up so much. I can't. In my heart of hearts, if Silverado's halfway competent, I think they got a chance.
Yeah, I gotta cede to you here. If you've seen both teams, I want to pick Bonanza because I think they're improved a little bit better, but
I haven't seen Silverado.
Yeah, but we knew it seemed like they were a little bit higher on themselves at Media Day this year. It seemed like they had some new kids in that they should improve. And if you're going to be an improved team, you got to win this game. So I'm gonna lean with the Skyhawks for now. I'm far from confident in this game. We're still in a wait and see here. I'm going to go with Silverado. Arborview going to California. They're playing Valencia.
Yeah, I just, you know... It's tough to pick against Arbor CK because they were so good last week, but I mean, this is, you know, SoCal Friday Night Lights, baby, a really good team, and I think the Aggies are going to meet their match, even though their defense was great last week.
I'm not sold. Contradicting yourself again, Valencia has not played yet. Seems like they're good, not necessarily great. I mean, on paper, they don't look much better than the team Arborview played last week. I know it was at home. I'm so impressed with what Arborview did. I'm going to go with the Aggies here. I mean, there might be some first-game jitters for Valencia. You know Arborview's not going to have that. They're going to go into this super confident. Kyle Graham, I've already shouted out, as one of the best players in town. I think he's going to make more of a name for himself. I'm going with the Aggies being 0-2 against a California schedule.
2-0.
Yeah, sorry, 2-0. Let me
today. Ask you this. Arborview, this would be kind of their first roadie, right?
Yes, definitely.
Does that factor into it at all?
Well, I would need to know a little bit more. They're probably leaving. They're probably doing this professionally, right? They're not, like, packing up the bus at noon.
I don't. They're stuck on 15 traffic on Friday. So, I don't know when they're leaving. You're right.
So I don't think so. I think certainly if you're looking to make a case, that means something, playing on the road, having to go out there. But I just think, I mean, we know how this program is run. We know how professional it is. It doesn't concern me as much as maybe it would for someone else doing this for the first time.
Okay. I mean, plus Ice and Legacy went over and rolled this weekend, so maybe that's a bad theory.
For sure, and maybe Valencia does probably look better than Burroughs, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad theory. I just think in this, I've got enough trust built up with our review, and I've seen what they're capable of, that I think the positives outweigh the negatives. I don't think they're going to win 60-13 this week, but I think they sneak past Valencia.
Okay. Letting me back in the game, Case. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. You're that confident? I hope you're listening, our review.
Well, they are.
I hope you don't play Basic next week. Brewer will be all over Basic.
Tough to go into Old Henderson on a Friday night. You know that, CK.
All right. Another team going to California, Mission Bay, will be hosting El Dorado.
So if you look at all our theories, right, you've got Vegas team playing a Cali team, Vegas team in California, Vegas team playing a first game. El Dog's 0 for 3. I got Mission Bay.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Mission Bay, but just the setup, this seems difficult. El Dorado going to a school in San Diego. I think we're both going to be on Mission Bay here.
I like where Cuts is thinking, right? You know, he's like, you know what? Let's give these kids a good experience. Let's get out of town where it's a little cooler. Let's bond. Let's play a game. Let's get better for league play. Because they're in that Northeast League where, you know, they got to play Vegas, and they got to play Canyon, and they got to play Legacy and DP. They're trying to find a way to get into the playoffs, baby. You know what I'm saying? And they're playing Mojave as well. So this is a big, big spot for them, not just to win, but to get better. So
for sure, great for the kids. Happy they're getting the experience. I can't quite say there's going to be a win to come out of it.
I agree.
All right. Legacy gets to stay home this week. They're hosting Dixie, who at one time was just a power in Utah. I'm going to try to look up real quickly
Dixie
whether that's still
the
case.
Dixie was the first game Gorman played in the Sanchez era. I drove up there for the game. They play good football. They got a great following. It's a St. George school.
10-2 last year, so
yeah.
Obviously still at least competitive.
It's probably easier for them to get the Legacy from Utah than it is Legacy to get to maybe Basic from North Las Vegas, right?
I guess, sure. Why not?
I think the Longhorns get the pads on and run, baby. You can't stop that running game. Give me the Longhorns.
I think this is going to be close. I'm
yes!
a little torn, but
yes! Take Dixie.
No, I'm not taking Dixie. Oh. I'm taking Legacy. I'm on Legacy. I like this team this year. That double pronged running attack. I think those two guys are going to be tough to top.
Do you remember the Giants when they were fire and ice, the New York Giants?
Yes.
Who was fire?
Ben Jacobs?
No, Tiki Barber.
Fire.
Fire and ice. Was it Tiki Barber and Ron Dayne?
We must be remembering different. Who was the big Jacobs guy? I don't think it was Ben Jacobs. But
no, Ben Jacobs played for Silverado. Brandon Jacobs, maybe.
Brandon Jacobs.
He won some Super Bowls with them. It was him and
Maude Bradshaw.
Yeah.
That's who I was thinking of.
No, the original Fire and Ice baby is Tiki and Ron Dayne, I think.
Brandon Jacobs and Maude Bradshaw were Earth, Wind, and Fire. I don't remember who Wind is, but all right, I don't remember that. So long ago. I was definitely watching football then, but all right, that's what Legacy got. We're going to call them Fire and Ice from now on, which brings us to the next game.
You're picking Fire and Ice?
Yeah, I'm picking Fire and Ice. You were trying to get me to go the other way. Not okay. Happening. This one, though, I'm a little torn. I think this could be a good game, Centennial and Green Valley.
Yeah, Centennial, gosh, they're so young and good. It's just you got to go with what you know in the preseason, and we had Green Valley in the top 10. I think, you know, obviously with Kalijah Wiley, I mean, they're going to have a player who's good. You know, I got to get away from the best player on the field. But speaking of Fire and Ice, now they got this 1-2 running back game, right? And it appears the defense, they were good. They were strong in the second half against Moapa Valley. No reason not to pick the Gators, baby.
I'm going to go with the Gators, too. I was impressed with what they did in week one, but I would not be surprised at all if Centennial proves us wrong here. I think these are two good programs, tough. I'm going to go with Green Valley, just barely. I think a little closer than you have it. Not stunned to see who you're picking here. Galena, Northern team hosting Foothill.
I mean, El Dorado could be going to play UNR in football, and I would pick El Dorado. I don't care who from Vegas is going to Reno. There's no way that they're going to lose. You're just talking about a major metro against backwoods. Lake Tahoe guy's going to kill me for saying this, but no way. Go, Falcons, go. I got my boy Talich and the crew, Marty Redman, Jordan Blakely, Jordan Wilson, rigging a QB. Just get out of there safe, boys. You know how that is when you go up to Reno, right?
Not really. I've only been there once. I'm going to make it happen again.
I got you
but
out quick,
bro. I'm going Foothill as well. I'm really high on the Falcons. I picked them second for the Southeast, and I think on paper they're the second best team in the division. I think they start 1-0. Desert Pines at Durango.
I think DP is going to need a little bit to get going, and then the Cameron Wiley kid's just going to go crazy. I got the Jags, but I think it's going to be close early, and then they pull away.
I agree with you. I'm going to go with Desert Pines. I also think this could be close. That's tough for Durango to start the year on two straight close losses, but that's kind of the way I'm leaning here. From Loving Valley to totally off the bandwagon, I guess, you've got them losing to Desert Oasis, who I know you were not high on, and got a win in week one. We didn't mention them at the top, but shout out to the Diamondbacks, who looked good in week one.
And their quarterback, Zobrist, I went to high school with his parents.
That's like the third kid you've said that about this year.
Proving my age again. But Dio went into Del Sol, put up a nice little performance, and you could argue that Del Sol and Valley pretty much are have some similarities. So I think the D-backs getting some confidence in the preseason, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the D-backs here, too. Big for those guys to start 2-0. 44-13 over Del Sol. I mean, no small feat. They just beat them up very well. Western at Rancho.
Yeah, this is a game, CK, where I really have no opinion on. Last year, Western stopped its, whatever, a six-year losing streak by beating Rancho. You could argue that these teams should play every week. It'd be a lot fun, more fun for everyone. I'm giving, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Rancho lost the crazy bone game last week to Vegas where it was 19-0 and the power went out, so they had to come back the next day and continue to the beating. So shout out to Vegas for getting the dub. Dude, I don't know, Case. This is one that I got no clue. I'm going that Rancho's already played a game, and they get the win.
I'm going this is a Ray Brewer theory that you ditched long ago, because it obviously means nothing, but I've got nothing to go off of either. So I'm just going with the eye test of Media Day.
Western, that's a good theory.
Western had a couple kids that looked like they could play. Not that Rancho didn't, but Western stood out a little bit more to me. So I'm going to go with the Warriors.
All right. You can't go wrong.
All right.
Make that our $5 game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be about a pick 'em. I'm going to go Western. You've got Rancho. Cheyenne traveling to Boulder City. God, there's a lot that happened in week one. This is another game we didn't mention. Shout out to my guy who gave me a game up on you because I believed in him. You were doubting the Pat Ward era. It is well underway for the Desert Shields. He's not coming in preaching any nonsense. He's coming in preaching wins, and Cheyenne is going to get a lot of them.
Yeah, and I think that Boulder City, a team that last year, if you remember, went an independent schedule to get its bearings. I just think that size-wise and speed-wise, Cheyenne's got a few more guys than Boulder City. If they could handle the travel and going down there, first game on the new turf at Boulder City, I think Cheyenne will get the dub.
Shout out to Josh Rose, Cheyenne quarterback, 192 yards and 4 touchdowns. I like this. I like the direction Cheyenne is heading. I think they're going to be a force this year. I'm going with Cheyenne to get to 2-0. Sunrise Mountain at Del Sol.
game I know nothing about, CK.
Sunrise Mountain, yeah, they didn't make it to our media day. I know they had a new coach. He's moving in from Iowa, I believe. So, but that's the reason why we're a little bit shut out of information from Sunrise Mountain right now.
Yeah, and I'll go with the team that played. Give me the Drags.
I'm gonna go with the team that I know they lost a lot of guys, but we forget how good Sunrise Mountain was last year. Knocked Moapa out of the playoffs. Had a nice little run. Have some guys coming back. I'm going with the Miners. You said I gave you a game with Arborview. I think you're giving me a game here. I don't know what's your deal with the Dragons this year. All over them 2 weeks in a row, but I'm going to go with Sunrise. I thought
they
looked good.
They passed the eye test.
All right. Virgin Valley and Pahrump Valley. Virgin, been a power in this league the last couple of years, but Pahrump, always tough at home.
Yeah, Virgin got a nice dub in week one against Clark at its yard. You know me, CK, I don't bet against the Trojans over the hump at Pahrump, and Virgin's got a little bit of a hike coming from Mesquite, right?
They do.
Right? You know your geography, right?
Yeah, this one's drive, tough for baby. Me. I'm trying to work it out in my mind.
Give me Velasquez and the Trojans all day, every day.
I'm going to go with Virgin Valley. I just think they got a little bit more. A lot of the skill players not back, but they have some linemen back, and that's just as important. We often overlook it. It's tough for me. Pahrump lost a one-point game, I believe, to Lowry in week one, so nothing to scoff at.
41-40.
Yeah, they played really well, but I'm going to go with Virgin, who beat Clark in week one. Coronado at Cimarron to wrap things up.
Yeah, I was high on Norwood. He got two TDs against the Desert Shields. They couldn't get the job done. Give me the Spartans, baby.
All right, I'm certainly...
Give me Idaho, baby. Give me Idaho.
I'm
you know
certainly
I'm
giving you a chance. No, you're not... You said the Spartans, they wouldn't be Idaho, right?
Yeah, UNLV is Coronado.
Oh, well, UNLV won that game, though.
I know, but trust me, UNLV's not beating Idaho. You know what I'm saying.
I'm giving you a chance to get back in, as we're going to disagree on a lot of games. I'm going Coronado here. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I spoke highly about them last week. I think last week at this time I would have said they're going to beat Cimarron. I'm not going to let one result dissuade me from that. I think they have a good week of practice. I still believe in Samaj Bolin.
Kickoff return for a touchdown to open the season. I still believe in him too.
Yeah, I think get Wale in field goal range a couple times. Maybe they didn't do that, or maybe he missed a couple, but I still believe in him long-term too. I'm going to go a close game with Coronado winning here.
Yeah, all right. I'm not going to say anything. Did he miss it? I don't know.
I said he either missed it or they didn't get him in field goal range, but I hope they get him more opportunities.
I agree.
We can get like a, you have 19-13. Maybe I see more like a 15-13 win on the other side.
All right,
well, that is a monster slate of games. Lived up to the billing, as Ray Brewer said. We'll be back next Monday right about the same time to break them down, figure out what happened. It was a fun week one. I'm looking forward to an even better week two. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now.